And we're back. Recently on Central Standard, we heard about a movie called The Good Lie, telling stories of Sudanese refugees making new lives for themselves in Kansas City. But the scenes that supposedly took place in Kansas City weren't filmed here. They were shot in Atlanta. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today we're looking into the business and politics of bringing more movie productions to Kansas City. Joining me for this discussion is Central Standard's film guy, Russ Simmons. Hi, Russ.
Good morning.
So, Russ, what cities in the U.S. do you think are doing a really good job of getting business from the film industry, of being picked as film locations?
Well, right now, Detroit is getting a lot of work. They have obvious incentives that have been in place for some time now.
What kind of incentives?
Tax write-offs. And they are – who would have thought that they would shoot – Superman versus Batman in Detroit, but that's exactly where it's taking place, and that is a huge budget movie. And when you're talking about a movie that has a budget of over $100 million, that has a lot of economic impact to a city like Detroit that needs it desperately.
And then that film, The Good Lie, that was filmed in Atlanta.
Correct.
Do you know what the difference is between Atlanta and Kansas City? What might have lured them that way?
Oh, it's strictly tax incentives. As a matter of fact, the producer of that film is from Memphis, and she also produced The Blind Side. And she shot that in Atlanta, too, because they had such good incentives for them. And she said, I got a lot of flack from my homies in Memphis because we didn't shoot there. But she said, I had to.
Well, Kansas City used to have a government-funded film commission, but a little more than a decade ago, that office shut its doors. Earlier this year, the city allocated funds for the revival of that commission as part of the tourism office. But over the years, when the city simply was not staffing that effort, an all-volunteer group attempted to fill the gap. Here from that group is Heather Laird. Hi, Heather.
Hi, good morning.
So you've been called the unofficial film commissioner. Is that a title you accept?
No.
Why not?
Basically, our organization was established so that there would be somebody to answer the phone or answer the emails when we didn't have a real film office to do that. But the thing is our organization is, you know, a wonderful group of hardworking volunteers, but we are volunteers. And the film commissioner, that's a full-time job. And although we did the very best we could and we did answer the phone calls and emails, as far as really marketing our city and being really proactive about bringing business in, we couldn't do that.
So answering phone calls and emails, what kinds of phone calls and emails were coming in?
Generally, they are from producers from out of town, oftentimes from the larger markets like Los Angeles and New York, who are looking to shoot a TV commercial, a movie, or a TV show in our area. And I'd just like to point something out
about
the experience with The Good Lie. In fact, at the time that The Good Lie was setting up in Atlanta, actually before they'd even open up their production offices, we still had a state tax credit of $4 million that could have been used towards that film. But because we didn't have a film commissioner who was reading the trades and watching what productions were going on and what might be a film that might maybe be able to shoot in Kansas City, none of us knew about it to lobby and get them here until it was too late.
Reading the trades, what does that mean?
Like the Hollywood Reporter or the magazines that the entertainment industry publish that tell you what's going on way in advance of them actually opening production offices.
So what was it like during those years? I mean, you've expressed that I've picked up on a general undertone of frustration at working very hard at something but not being available to it full time to do the kind of job you might have hoped to do. But what was it like to try and get movies and TV shows and other things shot in Kansas City? I mean, it sounds like people were proactively reaching out even when no one was reaching the other way to them, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, understand, I've only been involved with the Film Commission, I think, for about 5 or 6 years and been the president for the last 2 years. But really, there hasn't been much reaching out. I mean, they're just really – because, you know, that takes time and money, and we haven't been able to do it. Not only did we lose The Good Lie, but we also lost America's Got Talent last year.
There was interest in shooting that in Kansas City?
Yeah. They reached out to us and said, hey, why should we come to Kansas City? And we did the best we could. We sent some pictures, you know, and so forth. But a film commissioner what they would do is they would invite a producer in, put him up in a hotel, take him around town, show him the sights, and really sell the city so that then they bring their $200,000 production to your city. And that we just simply didn't have the resources to do that.
Well, I'd also like to welcome Steph Scoopum to the studio. She's the new film and new media manager for Visit KC. And Steph, what is Visit KC?
Visit KC? Oh, well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being here.
Visit KC is the tourism arm of Kansas City. It's its own nonprofit. But they market Kansas City outside of our city to the rest of America, to the rest of the world. And this office is a good place for the film and new media office is a good place for that tourism because, like Heather was just saying, the job of my role, and it's not titled film commissioner, I'm the manager of the office, but that responsibility will fall under my job description. Hosting, bringing in those producers, showing them around Kansas City, talking about what you know, what kinds of resources that we have, what kinds of exciting locations, and you know, crew we have. And putting them up in a hotel, and that's something that occurs regularly. For example, with travel writers, and that's something that Visit KC does. It would be similar, but let's apply that to producers.
People watching movies, and I think especially people with sort of artistic orientations who are looking at these things as works of art, like I think to believe that the settings of these movies, that these are creative decisions or content-based decisions, but it sounds like they are very much marketing and business decisions. Can you tease that out a little bit? When you think about hosting someone who's thinking about making a movie, are you making a creative aesthetic argument? What kind of argument are you making?
The argument that we'll be making, and this is a topic that is hot for every state, every film commission across the country and somewhat internationally, too. I just came from an international film commissioners conference where this was one of our topics. It's a different era. It used to be really solely on that creativity, on the locations, on the variety that you had, and match that with your project, your script, and the talent pool. And it's just so different now. It is an economic decision. So what they tend to do now when they're looking at places and locations is they're looking at all of the different offerings from all of the different states. Some have incredible offerings, like Louisiana. And, you know, earlier we mentioned Georgia, and they have a 20% with a possible 10% on top of that. So they pool all of the, you know, kind of the best ones together that could fit for their creative. And then they go in and do location scouting and kind of vet it out for their creative reasons after they have vetted it out for economic reasons.
So
it
Kansas
is definitely,
City.
It's on top, it's upside down from what it used to be.
Yeah. And Kansas City on a state line, even economically speaking, that's an interesting puzzle there because if I understand correctly, your role in your office is funded by taxpayers of Kansas City, Missouri, right?
Yes. The Visit KC office is in partnership with the City of Kansas City, Missouri to fund my salary and the office.
Mm-hmm. So say a film crew or the industry people are coming to town and they're interested in a movie and they say, what are the settings that you have to offer? What are the really great spots? And you know of the perfect spot across the state line in Kansas. Do you take them there?
Absolutely.
Why is that? How do you make that argument to the KCMO taxpayer?
Well, I don't just take them there. I take them to as many of the places on the Missouri side as I can. I would read their script prior or ask for, you know, the scene pages so that I can work with our resources and tap our people to also ask around, you know, like Heather, you know, they're looking for this, this, and this. What places come to mind? Or, you know, another person on the board, Rick Cowan, they're looking for this, this, and this. Do we have that on the Missouri side? Make those lists, take them there. And absolutely, we are a greater Kansas City area. You know, we have two sides. You know, there's a reality show that's going to film here in a suburb of Kansas. But because outside of here, people don't care that there's a state line, you know.
Right.
They think of it as all as Kansas City, and we tend to as well. You know, look at all of our fanship for the Royals. That's definitely a bi-state thing. But so they're going to do B-roll of Kansas City, and really their B-roll list is almost all KCMO. So see how that works for us. They're doing some primary shooting in the suburbs of Kansas, but their essence of Kansas City that they're going to be featuring is largely KCMO.
So are you at liberty to divulge what reality show this is?
That one I'm not. That one I'm not. But we have others. There's, for example, shooting this week is a show called Game of Arms. You may have seen it because, Gina, you're a big arm wrestling fan, I've heard.
So you can tell that looking at me, I'm sure.
You are buff.
Thank you.
They're shooting in town. They're going to be hiring some PAs. They're going to be hiring some extras. We know that they're shooting on the Missouri side in the Bottoms. It's wonderful. But they also have, you know, kind of an essence of Kansas City. And some of that may include going on the Kansas side and shooting. And one of the things that I spoke with them about was here are our permitting, general permitting guidelines for the Missouri side. If you happen to find yourself across the state line, these are Kansas's. And yes, I am not a Kansas film commissioner, but there's an awareness. We need to be very aware of each other and work well together that these are their guidelines, you know, so that, you know, no matter what happens, we are help taking care of them. We want them to come back. We want them to tell their industry friends that we are the best place to come to.
If you out there have a question about the business of making movies in Kansas City, you can call in at 816-235-2888. We'd love to take your questions. And I have another question actually about that, which is that you expressed that you share an awareness of the permitting laws on the Kansas side as well as the Missouri side, even though you're an advocate for the Missouri side. But are the laws substantially different or are they fairly comparable?
Right now, they're fairly comparable. There is not a general permit to shoot in either Kansas or Missouri. It's based on
What does that mean, a general permit to shoot?
Well, for example, in New York, no matter how big the production is in the state of New York, no matter how big the production is, whether it's a TV series, you know, on ABC or a film or a small film, there's a $300 fee for shooting. You register, you have a, you know, you get your permit through the city, you know, they issue you a permit number. We don't have anything like that here in Missouri or in Kansas. So shooting here is very easy. We love that it's easy. It's great for people. There's not a lot of red tape. So the awareness is just that when you cross over into a jurisdiction or really aware of what location you're at specifically, like, for example, if you're going to shoot on the plaza, Highwoods wants a phone call and says, hey, this production company is planning on shooting on the plaza. These are the details I have. This is their contact person. Please expect a call from them and they'll coordinate. So it's really more like that. And certain locations will have fees and certain things. But it's more like if you're going to move traffic, cars, parking, if you're going to move pedestrians, the city asks for permits then.
What is the economic benefit for a city being chosen more frequently as a location for films and for television shows and other kinds of things?
Well, the economic benefit would depend on the size of the production.
The America's Got Talent story is a perfect example because a big show like that can spend upwards of $200,000 in your community in a week of shooting. And then you get the added benefit of the free advertising because when they come in, Stephanie mentioned B-roll, they come in and they shoot, you know, beauty shots of your city, and then they put those on the show. So when it airs, it's like a 1 hour free TV commercial for your city, which has, I mean, that's worth millions.
In what sense is it worth millions, though? Like, what on a practical level, where does that money, how do actual dollars result?
The dollar value of that. If you were to go out and buy an hour's worth of national television advertising, it would cost you millions.
Wow. Well, Russ, as a film critic, thinking about this from the movie-going public's perspective, what would it mean for Kansas City to be on screen more often? Do you think that that's significant culturally?
I do. And as a matter of fact, you know, you talked about the example of The Good Lie. I mean, I heard titters in the screening that I was at because when people saw these scenes of Kansas City, it was so obviously not Kansas City where they were shooting, and made people's eyes roll. I think that it's important for authenticity, and it's also important, as you say, for the psyche of the locals that they know when something's set here that it's shot here.
We all have sort of throughout, I mean, not just the United States, but throughout the world, a sort of a collective imagination of what New York looks like or what Los Angeles looks like, and whether we've been to those places or not. And I wonder if films being shot in Kansas City would constitute an opportunity to make our cityscape a part of that collective American imagination, or if that's a long shot and ridiculous to even imagine.
No, I think there's no question about it. If we had a series, you know, let's say, for example, that we had a CSI Kansas City or something like that, where people would get a view of what our city is like. Because my experience is when people come out of town, they don't have a clue. They don't know what state it's in. They don't have an image in their mind, except the only image they have is The Wizard of Oz. And so, you know, if we had an opportunity to showcase our city in films more often, then I think that would change things a lot.
Also, during the 90s, we had a lot of made-for-TV movies that shot in this area. And many times they were movies that were set in New York or mm-hmm. L.A. or Chicago. And they basically shot Kansas City for those other communities. Because other than mountains and ocean, we have sites in our area that will cover and can look like Los Angeles or New York or Chicago.
The great chameleon city.
Exactly. And if it's much cheaper to shoot, which it was in the 90s, it was much cheaper to shoot here than to try and shoot in one of those larger cities. And that's why we had so much business.
Well, speaking of Kansas City being portrayed in movies and what that does sort of for the city psychologically, culturally, and maybe even economically, I want to play a film trailer from Robert Altman's 1996 movie Kansas City. It's been a while since we've heard a trailer refer to our city like this. Let's give it a listen.
Kansas City, the 1930s, where opportunity waits for those who take it.
Give me the money.
Wait, what?
Somebody set me up in your camp.
But when a small-time hood steps over the line, he crosses the wrong man.
What am I going to do with you? I think of something.
But you got your money back, right? So, can I have my husband back now?
How'd you like him? A sucker in a box.
Don't you touch him! I'll kill you!
Now, to win her husband's freedom.
Keep your wife for insurance.
If Johnny gets free, you get your wife back.
Anything goes wrong,
your wife will wake up in a pile of dirt. Only she won't wake up, get it?
A desperate wife will take a wealthy socialite hostage.
Looks like I'm gonna have you on my hands for a while. Maybe you can stand the company?
Worlds will collide.
What's that stuff you take? It's tonic for my nerves.
Maybe I ought to try some. Think it'll help my nerves?
Boundaries will be crossed.
You got guts.
Yeah, now they're yours.
You guts?
Everything's yours.
My husband would never put me in the position your husband put you in.
And one bond.
If it's real love, then you're both the same person.
We'll tie everyone together.
Where do you think you will go after all this is over?
Sooner or later, everybody got to go. Some sooner than others.
Acclaimed director Robert Altman returns to the city of his youth for his most intimate film yet. Jennifer Jason Leigh. Miranda Richardson. Harry Belafonte. Michael Murphy. Dermot Mulroney. And Steve Buscemi. Every story has two sides.
And what people are hearing is that killer cast, those big names, the star power, the atmosphere. But what they aren't seeing is the variety of locations represented, even in that trailer. Downtown back alleys, rain-soaked streets that look very specifically the way Kansas City looks in a storm, dimly lit bars, and old mansions in what looks like either Mission Hills or the Ward Parkway area.
And when they're showing all of those scenes and saying the name Kansas City over and over again, that is an experience we don't here have very often.
No. And, you know, thinking back on other fairly recent films like Mr. and Mrs. Bridge, it's 20 years ago, took place and showed all those beautiful mansions and along, Mission Hills, Ward Parkway, and all of that area, and showed Kansas City a completely different light than I think anyone that wasn't from here had any concept of.
And that Mr. and Mrs. Bridge, I mean, both of those movies, Kansas City and Mr. and Mrs. Bridge, there were huge segments of the population, at least I remember it this way, who were extras in those. Yeah. I mean, that was a big deal.
We did the extras casting as well as the location principals casting for Kansas City. And interestingly enough, a lot of people don't realize at the same time that that movie was here, a network television film called Truman, starring Gary Sinise, was also shooting. We had two major films going on, both using the Union Station, because that was just before they started refurbishing it.
What year was this?
96 is when it released.
95.
Like 95. Yeah.
Yeah. So what impact did that have economically?
Well, I mean, I don't have the dollar amounts. I do know that Kansas City was like a $20 million film, which by today's standards seems a little low. But so obviously you have to multiply it a little bit to understand the economic impact. But that was all spent here on crew, on locations, on hotels, on restaurants, on extras. I mean, all that money was pumped right back into our economy.
You know, Gina, there was a film that more recent that shot in the Ozarks, Winter's Bone, which we're all familiar with, starring an unknown actress named Jennifer Lawrence.
Little known lady.
Low budget film, but the budget for tent rental on that film, just tent rental, was $1,200 a day. So, you know, even small budget films can have a very positive economic impact for local business.
And speaking of the rest of Missouri, Gone Girl is a recent movie with a Cape Girardeau connection. Can you talk about that movie, Russ?
Yeah, it's actually the number one film at the box office right now. It's made almost $40 million. And talk about spread out economic impact. They have now, since this movie has taken off, tourist tours of the shooting areas for Gone Girl.
In Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
In Cape Girardeau, yeah. That's right. So it's like they're going to, of course, ride that pony as long as they can, but it's great. It's just another one of those things that shows how the shooting of a film in a certain area can have a lasting impact economically.
If I could speak to that very quickly.
Yeah, please.
I was speaking with the Missouri commissioner, and their tourism department created a contest for people to come on that tour in Canada. You know, so big fans of the book Gone Girl and now the movie Gone Girl. As far away as Canada, they're so excited. They've got a contest going to come here to be a part of that tour, stay in a hotel, eat at different restaurants, and see the sites where Gone Girl was shot.
Do you see Kansas City as having something particular that you're going to be really trying to sell to the industry as far as Kansas City as a place to come and do this? Something unique?
There's so much that's unique about our city. One of the things that's easy to sell, I think that's easy to sell, especially this year and at this time, is our spirit. We have such a spirit of scrappiness. We have such a spirit of friendliness and openness. And then what you add to that is the ease of shooting here. And then what you add to that, and maybe this is actually primary, is that we have such a variety of locations. We have, you know, we have urban core. You know, we have rural, we have fancy suburbs, we have, you know, regular 1950s suburbs, we have, you know, the bottoms that could be like, you know, 1940s or 1880s, or we have the 18th
century. So time travel potential.
Well, potential time travel. And then we've got future travel. I'm not saying that this is a location that's easy to get or is, you know, like I can just invite people in and we can make it happen. But if you think about places like the Sprint Center and you think about places like the Kauffman Center, wouldn't that be a great setting for something sci-fi? I mean, you know, it could be an airport. It could be a sci-fi movie. We have a lot of different offerings. And our arts community is incredible.
What don't we offer?
We do not offer incentives currently.
No tax credits.
We have no tax credits, which is different.
That's huge.
It is. It's
well,
huge.
The bottom line is that until the state of Missouri changes the mindset and brings tax credits back, we cannot expect to get any more feature films of any size.
And Gone Girl did receive tax incentives, and it was the last one before it sunset on the law.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. Steph Scoopum, Film and Media, New Media Manager for Visit KC, thanks for joining us.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Gina.
And Heather Laird, unofficial volunteer film commissioner of many years, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Russ Simmons, always a pleasure to talk movies
with
you.
Good to be with you.
Tomorrow, we'll talk with graphic memoirist Art Spiegelman, famous for his comic books telling of his father's Holocaust survival story. We'll hear about his new projects, and we'll check in on Kansas City's Volker neighborhood as part of our Beyond Our Borders project here at KCUR. All of that happens tomorrow at 10. Stay up on our news by following us on Twitter. Our handle is at KCURCST. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date next.